Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott, 7:06 in the morning here. Phone lines are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, 7:07 in the morning here. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning, everybody, and it's great to be back. Had a couple trip day trip down to Sacramento and Roseville and Rocklin and Granite Bay, visiting my folks and doing some errand things for them down in the Sacramento area. So it's great to be back in the seat here on this Friday. I heard you guys have had two wonderful days, and of course Trish Clark here on Thursday mornings. Good Monday morning, 7:06. It's currently 76 degrees in the downtown studios. Our highs today are going to be 102, partly cloudy tonight with temperatures around 73. Saturday will be about 98. Saturday night around 70. Sunday looks for a hot day around 100, and Sunday night around 71. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. We're the locally owned and operated senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Now, of course, we always have our pet of the week on Friday mornings, Carl.
We do, and here he is with Spencer.
Good morning.
Good morning,
and
Spencer.
And a dog with her leg. Only thing I can see is Spencer and a dog's head in your lap.
Okay, our pet of the week, and that's always wonderful. Wonderful segment, one of my favorite. Who do we have this morning?
So this morning I brought with me Trisha. Trisha is a 3-year-old pit bull shepherd mix. Trisha, believe it or not, has actually been at our shelter for about 4 months now. She came into us as a stray, and unfortunately her people never came looking for her.
She has another great disposition.
She does. She's gone through 2 weeks of our Camp Love a Pet training. She graduated that successfully. So she's learned all of her basic commands, everything from walking on a leash to sit, stay down, all of that good stuff. She already
knows
that.
Look at the way she just looks at you with just love in her eyes like that, just laying up against you.
That's all that's in her eyes is nothing but love. Great dog. She loves going on long walks and enjoys playing in the water. It's actually kind of funny when you get her near the water. She gets out there and she attacks the water. So she's out there and she's biting at the water and wanting the water to play back with her, but it just won't.
Well, it's playing the way water plays. Water plays just the way it wants.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
You can't argue with it. You can't, you know, you can get angry at it, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get angry back. It just, you know, come on, jump on me. I don't care. I'm just going to eventually drown you. You keep it up.
Yeah. Well, we love when you bring in Pet of the Week, and you always, especially after they've gone through Camp Love a Pet, you know, just they've had that 2 weeks of dealing with, you know, human being and intense training for that period of time. And so there she is. You know, I see every time you walk in, I always look forward to who did Spencer bring in today. So anyway, tell us about your stories of when you open, and if somebody is looking for an incredible companion, Hardy dog, would you say about 65 pounds?
I would say she's probably closer to about 50 to 60, right in there. She's a little bit on the smaller side. Our hours are from 11 to 5, Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. We have many great dogs at our shelter right now looking for forever homes. Trisha's one of them, so you could stop in. I do want to remind everybody that now through this Sunday, it's ending. You could adopt any pit bull or pit bull mix for only $50. So, I mean, that's a great deal. You can get Trisha. That includes their spay or neuter, microchip. Everything's included in that price. And it's just, it's an amazing deal to come in and adopt an amazing animal and make them a part of your forever family.
Well, great. Thanks so much. And good luck to the to Haven Humane and, of course, your Adopt-A-Pet. We're really excited about everyone that you bring in.
You going to send me a picture?
Already did.
Already did? Okay, I haven't looked at my mail yet this morning. Okay, hey, thank you so much
for having us.
Oh, yeah, well, and good luck to the pup here. I mean, she's just a love there.
Yeah, we're hoping today's her lucky day.
This is her lucky day. Okay. All right. Hey, Eric, hop on for a second. Get in there close. This is our new one of our new producers here. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, Eric is a, you know, if y'all remember Savannah, everybody misses Savannah, but Eric is a friend of Savannah's. So that's she says, I know a guy that can do this. And sure enough, there's you know, Eric showed up and we talked and he found out that Eric grew up in the same area of Washington State that I did, and in fact went to the crosstown rival school, high school.
Go Pirates!
Go Pirates!
Go Cadets! Anyway, but of course a few years after I was there, but we caught up on what the Yakima Valley in Yakima, Washington looks like.
Yep.
And here, is with wife and two children, right?
Yep.
Okay. We're really glad that you're with us here.
Well, yeah, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Glad to be
and
here.
And he's an expert in this. I mean, it took him almost, 15 minutes to learn how to do this?
Yeah, I had a great trainer, so.
You did. You know, we have some good people here. Savannah worked with you, and I know Bad Bob did. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Okay. Let's start out with a couple of things. And I called my sister in Chattanooga. Who lives in Chattanooga. My nephew is on a first responder as an EMT on a fire engine. And we talked about what happened there yesterday, this tragedy where the four Marines were killed. It's just, it is a tragedy. This Islamic terrorist went to two different locations, I think as everybody knows by now, went to two locations and shot up the first one, and nobody was hurt. Went into the second one and where the reserve center was. Drove his car through the gate, got out, and shot through the glass and all this, and killed four Marines, wounded a sailor, female sailor, and somebody and another person, wounded an officer, police officer, before he was killed by the police. Terrible tragedy. Now, the Muslim community in Chattanooga has reacted to this somewhat differently than you've seen in every other place. They've put out a statement saying how they are Chattanoogans and Americans here, that that this is a terrible tragedy to them. They canceled Ramadan. This is the last big day. This is the last day of celebrating Ramadan. Now the celebrations start with feast and all this. And I'm sure that had nothing to do with the attack, right? And so they've canceled those. They've canceled those celebrations so that they can join a vigil or a candlelight vigil for all the four Marines that were killed. They're in a non-denominational type of remembrance for the Marines. You haven't seen this before, and I just talked to my sister, like I said, who lives in Chattanooga, and she says the whole community is terribly shaken up by this, scared that this how many more. The question is, how many more out there walking around? You know, they call it the lone wolf type of terrorist. And it's hard to find out who the lone wolf is because they're not attached to anything. I heard Rudy Giuliani say, it's not lone wolf, it's a pack of wolves. The bottom line, though, is they all have the same focus, and that is through Islamic jihad is to kill people, is to kill military, kill police, kill people. And so, this is not just one or two people. And this the propaganda that's being put out daily in thousands and thousands, if not millions, of hundreds of thousands of tweets and amount of stuff going out over the internet is going to people that this affects. And what if it? And if you take a look at the percentage of the population, there's 6.5 million, I think, of the population is Muslim. In the United States, the vast, 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 vast majority, of course, are Americans who love this country, but just a small percentage. That's all it takes. And this guy was a Kuwaiti immigrant, naturalized citizen, graduate of the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga with an engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
They talked to neighbors in that area, and they're saying that, you know what, the family was just, really, really nice people, fit into the neighborhood, everybody, it was a good old boy, hat on backwards and the whole thing, and was talking about it. Anyway,
he was a martial, a very good in martial arts. Did you read about that?
No.
He won a silver medal as a grappler, which is a special kind of wrestling. And his parents were really, his father was very much against him wrestling. I guess it just didn't go with their religious, faith. They think that one of the guys who befriended him had introduced him into the world of the fighting world. Like you said, he was an engineer, electrical engineer, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. He was from Red Bank High School.
Which I, by the way, we're very familiar with that Chattanooga area. Red Bank is right down, it's right there on the, in Chattanooga, right on the outskirts of the river there, and I mean it's we drive down Red Bank when we're part of getting into Chattanooga, going up to my sister's place up on the mountain up there.
So there's probably just this guy who just embraced these ideas and would go with his friends to go get ribs, go get barbecue.
Well, he probably wouldn't get pork ribs, but he would probably go get other types of.
He said he embraced American ice, straddled worlds.
Yeah, and but some what turned him? There's the thing is what turned him into this. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. A lot of things going on, Jimmy. You can call, Jimmy, please call in. We've talked about this subject, but. Call in now. We've got time right now. And then, Sungold, I'm going to answer your question about how I feel about no gun zones here in a minute. As soon as we get back from these messages, Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la Sriracha. Chicken with Sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes. And for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. I was listening to the music. I started running. Whoa, what is that?
Ah, house.
Eric's, of course, bringing in his ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Savannah, we have Bob's, we have both Bob's, we have, everybody has their own idea of music. And they're all good, all good about music. Hey, Carl Lindebach, it is 20 minutes after 7 here on Friday, the 17th of July. 605-4567 is our phone number, and it's ringing. Hey, I want to talk to you about the community grant program from Dignity Health North State. They have given away over $500,000 in funding to groups focused on serving those most in need. And today, my friends, today, July 17th, is the last day to apply. Now, this is for people that are that the nonprofit organizations working to improve the health and well-being of our community. Again, they have given since 2014. They've provided over $500,000 in funding. You can get into this. They do things. They help the community. They're doing things for the kids, with the elderly, all different types of events. and all different types of help. But you got to give them a call at 225-6114. That's 225-6114. Today is the last day. You need to get in there, call everybody that has a good cause. You need to call Dignity Health and through the community grant program. Again, 225-6114. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you guys doing?
Fine. Welcome back there, buddy.
You bet. And as you know, and some of the folks might know, I work out of town all the time, down south. And, well, I was going to ask you, have you heard anything about Obama commenting on the lady killed in San Francisco by the illegal alien yet?
I haven't heard him say anything. But you know what? Maybe he snuck one past me.
Right. And that really upsets me because I was watching the news, and he was at a press conference, and one of the questions that he was asked was, how do you feel about Bill Cosby? And, you know, of course, his answer was, well, anybody that gives drugs to somebody for sex, that's wrong. Duh. You know? And so, and I'm just thinking, why aren't they asking him about that? And, you know...
It doesn't fit into this. You know what? We addressed this, kind of. See,
no.
People have stories in their heads.
Right. So I'm sitting at this hotel room in Salinas with a, you know, that has a, I think, was an armed guard in the parking lot. And I'm watching the news, and not a couple minutes later, in Capitola, which is a town down there, they arrested a 19-year-old Victor Chavez, an illegal alien, for carrying an unloaded gun. He was released that evening. Okay? And the kicker is, 2 days later, the same officer that arrested him caught him in a stolen car with a stolen gun. And it turns out, oh, gee, he's also wanted for child molestation. You know, and they arrested him again, and he was being held on nine counts, including receiving stolen property, resisting arrest, child molestation. And I just am thinking, what in the heck is going on?
Why didn't they hold him? Yeah, what was it that they turned him loose the first time on?
That's what I want to know.
Well, you know, the problem is that when you have sanctuary cities and you have the rule of the land by Obama that says, oh, we need to concentrate on those bad guys. Well, I guess we need a definition of bad guy then. If this guy's got, you know, like the one in San Francisco's had five felonies and been deported seven times, and then this guy you're talking about has got nine felonies against him, but he already had two of the felonies for, you know, child molestation and, you know, guns. You know, what is a real crime then? You have to walk into a store and throw a hand grenade? Is that a real crime to President Obama?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I went to Canada and did that, I mean... You know, what would happen to me?
Well, what if you... Okay, how about this? What if you went to Mexico with a gun? Just a gun. Remember the Marine that spent months in jail because he made the wrong turn, and before he was trying to U-turn back out of the border. He didn't even drive in. He just drove up to the gate, and he had to come into the country and turn around. And when they did, they arrested him and put him in jail for months with unloaded guns that he was not even wanting to come in the country. Mexico will put you in jail and throw away the key if they catch you with a gun.
Well,
and they are rough on people coming into their country illegally. I don't know why it's just, you know, it's a one-way door here.
Right. Well, you know, if that happened to me, I'd probably, you know, have my wife sell the house and then take the money and buy my way out of there.
Buy your way out of there.
You know, that's what I'd call
that might be it. No, you know what? There's got to be, you know, people, they're attacking Trump because Trump is saying, you know, that we're getting a lot of people coming across the border. Yeah, they're good people, but there's a lot of them that are felons. And we're getting that. I mean, because you can't, unless you stop them, unless you stop people from coming across the border, you've got to take all of them. And so,
right. And it's,
yeah.
You know, I am not a racist, and I think, you know, people that come here legally, man, that's great, but it's just out of control. And it's, you know, it's so strange to be down in these towns down there, and you're driving along the freeway, and you see Jack in the Box signs, you see Jack in the Box commercials in Spanish, you see McDonald's signs. Billboards in Spanish, Budweiser signs in Spanish. It's like, what? Wow, really? It's just really strange. You know, it's like another world. But anyway, Carl, thanks for letting me
Well, you need to vent a little bit there. You know, but you know what? You're saying what a lot of other people are saying. Why are there sanctuary cities? Where does it say that you can come to a city and be protected by from, you know, after you've broken the law and you're protected there?
It's crazy. I mean, I would be, even in San Francisco, if I got caught with a gun there.
Oh.
I
tell you what,
going to Mexico.
Getting caught with, you know, if for some reason they find out that you're carrying a legally concealed weapon, they can give you a bad time about it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But, you know, if I go down there with, you know, 5 pounds of marijuana, they'd probably just, you know, they probably would just let me go.
Because you say, hey, look, I need this for medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Are you short on time real quick?
Got a couple minutes.
Okay, and this, what's AB4 about? Something about making California a sanctuary state? Is that a rumor?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard that one.
Okay, anyways, well, thanks for letting me get that off my chest, Carl.
But you know what? It doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
We've got a California congressman that's saying we need to take the term man and wife out of the marriage code.
it's insanity.
Welcome to California, buddy.
Yeah, but anyways, I just wanted you folks up here in this great Northern California to know what's going on down there.
Oh no, it's been going on a long time. When I lived in San Diego, I needed help and to move it and stuff. And I went down to an official place. I mean, it had a state employee there where I could, and I, you know, I signed up, and they would give me two or three people to work, and they weren't legals, but the state was running it, and it was kind of like, oh, well, and at first I thought, well, it's a state thing; they're just helping people, get day work. No, none of these people were there legally.
Wow.
I didn't know that till after I brought them back. Well, I kind of thought about it when I was working with them, and it was like, well, where are you guys from?
Oh, wow.
How long you been here? But they did, you know what? But here's the bottom line. Did a great job. They worked hard.
No,
that's what they're supposed to.
They want to work, you know. Yeah, knocking for that.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Carl.
You bet.
All right, bye.
Also, to make an announcement here, the Foothill Area Little League fall baseball signups are from July 25th from 11 to 2, and also July 29th from 5:30 to 8. Good Times Pizza in Palo Cedro is where they're doing it. Registration is $45. I started looking up. I decided to get that announcement out because I promised I would. Which is what we try to do here on the morning show, is to cover a lot of stuff. But this portion of the show is brought to you by
Mighty Fine Foods. You know, Mighty Fine Foods, out there on 299 in Deschutes Road in Bella Vista, family-owned, family-operated. It's your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. Now, but it's just so many other things. They've got over 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 types of beers and liquor and wine choices. Plus, they do barbecue today on Friday. But you can go down and just grab the barbecue, and now you've got barbecue for all weekend long. It is absolutely fabulous, the taste of it. They'll give you a free 7-pound bag of ice with any 18-pack of drinks or larger. I mean, it's got it all, and it's locally owned, locally operated, father and son operation. And we can support that, plus get great service, plus get great food. And a deli that is second to none. All is at 299 in Deschutes, right there in Bella Vista, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 7:30 here on July the 17th, Friday.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you, Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family helping family.
The Redding Chapter of Gun Owners of California presents the 6th Annual Fundraising Banquet and Auction, July 25th at the Holiday Inn. Gun Owners of California is the most effective, toughest fighting pro-gun organization in the state of California. So come by and get your tickets now. For ticket information, contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Gun Owners of California, area code 916-984-1400. Help support Gun Owners of California.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Welcome back to KCNR. Good morning. Currently 77 degrees at 7:32 in the morning. I just love going through some of our headlines here. I've got a really good one coming up here as soon as I pull it up again.
And while you're doing that, can I say that this Please. Portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, of course, with all types of drinks and coffees and iced coffees and beer, and walk next door to a great, great tobacco emporium with a walk-in humidor full of sticks. We call them sticks, cigars. They're really good for you. I mean, as far as, well, I mean, they've got the finest selection of cigars all around. It's right there at Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. They also have discounts for veterans in Espresso Joe's. They do a lot for our community. It's a better-known store, too. All right.
Well, you've heard of Uber.
I've heard of Uber. But in case people haven't, what is Uber?
Well, Uber is where you sign up and you can get an Uber driver instead of taking a taxi. You know, if they're close by, they'll pick you up. And, you know, it's kind of like a pay-forward thing. So anyway, an Uber driver.
I bet the taxi cab drivers really love
oh,
that.
Oh, no, I can do that. Okay, so we're going to take a call in a second, but let me finish this one. An Uber driver who picked up Jeb Bush Thursday on a San Francisco street corner doesn't normally vote and didn't recognize the Republican front runner. But the experience of driving a man who could be president and talking about it with a reporter may get him the polls this year. He said he'll probably pull the lever for Hillary Clinton. Bush is traveling around San Francisco using the ride-sharing app, the latest embrace by the Republican of the company, which has fought taxi regulations and has come under fire from some Democrats for the scant benefits of its offers, its network and independent drivers. The GOP has emerged as the company's staunchest defender as the party tries to align itself with the hip and liberal Bay Area culture as they appeal for younger voters and top donors.
Amazing. Uber. Okay, here's my story about Uber. One of the drivers was carrying a legally concealed weapon. This maniac starts to shoot at people. This is in Chicago in a crosswalk. This guy jumps out, saves everybody's lives as a hero, and Uber turns around and makes it illegal for anybody that drives for Uber to carry a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just stupid. Just stupid. Good job, Uber. Okay, let's go to the phones. Dar, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I do not understand why our military are not allowed to carry their weapons in the United States. Can you? And I know you were a retired military a man. Why is that?
Well, you know what? This is a good question. Somebody else asked me this here in the chat room, Dar. They've made all federal buildings a no-gun zone. And, in fact, right here in your county courthouse, it's a no-gun zone, no-weapon zone. You can't even carry a pocket knife into the courthouses. The post offices, you can't carry a weapon of any kind into it or onto the grounds. So this is a federal law. Maybe it was, you know, somebody said it started when after Reagan's assassination attempt. But I think people need to also take a look at this. And, you know, if, and they're saying if it's going to be a no-weapon zone, then they need to put security guards out there. Either that or let our, you know, let people have carry concealed weapons, have concealed weapons permits. But the attacks at the Navy Yard, there's been a number of attacks that have, you know, that somebody comes in with a gun and he starts shooting. And if some of it's politically motivated, some of it is just, you know, somebody that's just, who knows for what reason they're doing it. But when you get enough, when you get into a gun-free zone, what it means is people that are legal, law-abiding citizens will not carry a gun. And then the people that are lawbreakers that have this, you know, they have this strange mental aberration that says they need to go out and kill people will bring theirs in. I wholeheartedly disagree with it. I think if you're going to put no-gun zones, then you are obligated then to put a security guard there with a gun to protect the inhabitants. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I mean, this is our military. That's their job, is to carry weapons and protect themselves and our country and our people.
And
why wouldn't they have,
they do have,
their
they
weapons
have lots
on them in their offices as part of their uniform?
Well, you know what? That's going to, you know, you do in combat, and you do when you're deployed away. And all you otherwise, when you're on base, those guns are locked away behind two or three different locks there, too. So that's a good question, is that if we trust them to carry guns in combat, then why don't we trust them to carry guns in peacetime? The other thing about it, too, is, if I can just say this, is when you don't carry guns for a long time, if you're not familiar with carrying your weapon, your rifle or your pistol, that when you have to do it again, and it becomes, now you have to teach all over again the, you know, how to carry, how to keep those guns on you. There's other countries that do. They let them carry their guns around. I think that perhaps maybe it needs to be revisited. That or having security forces all around.
I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't understand why those Marines did not have at least sidearms, you know?
Well, I think they're going to maybe have to take a good look at this again, because this isn't going to be the last attack. There's been several, and this is going to just get worse.
And the thing is that if they'd had their sidearms, they wouldn't be dead.
Nope,
that's
they'd
exactly right.
They'd had a chance to protect
at
themselves.
At least they would have had a chance.
Wouldn't be dead.
One, by the way, was a gunnery sergeant with Tours in Fallujah, had been wounded already in defense of this country, and he was killed. Thomas Sullivan.
I mean, how awful they must have felt to have not be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, it's probably one of the things that ran through their mind was that I'm just sitting here. I've been through three tours of combat, and I'm getting killed by some crazy guy in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And I can't protect myself, and I'm here. My mind is just one set one way. These are our military. To me, they should be carrying some type of weapon because that's what they do. A soldier does, a Marine does, someone even in the Navy, they should have a sidearm.
That's what they do. Okay, Darth, thanks a lot. It's a good point.
Thank you.
Well, you know, this has got a lot of people upset. Yes. It should have people upset.
And so it's this morning, if you remember on Fox, we were watching Oliver North, and he looked at the camera and he said, you know, if anybody in the White House is listening right now, release the ban of no sidearms or no weapons under these circumstances.
Yeah.
Because, like you're saying, I mean, this is why I'm reading all over the internet that, you know, people are just outraged.
Why are four Marines sitting there that are just slaughtered?
Can you imagine, Carl, just yourself?
Yeah, I can imagine.
If it's your choice that you decide not to carry, then that's your choice. But if it's a rule I just can't even imagine what would go through your mind. I mean, you would first of all, you would throw yourself on this guy.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when this guy walks in, and you know, here's the thing is, he probably burst through the, you know, he went through the doors, and came through it, and I mean, he started, you know,
you just can't even like grasp it's a reality.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about this. He had drive through a couple of, you know, rounds, a couple of berries, and through it. I'm thinking about it because I was on independent duty, like these guys were, and I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. If somebody had walked through the door. Now this was years and years ago before, you know, 9/11. Heck, it was before Desert Shield, Desert Storm. But if somebody had walked through that door and started shooting, we'd have just, only thing we could have done is barricaded ourselves in someplace because all of our guns were in the armory. All of them were there, locked up, and accounted for. You didn't carry back then. And in fact, they made sure that we had kept them all locked up, and we had to account for them all the time, every day. We had, you know, every day we had to send a report in, and we had all of our guns. Nowadays, though, they've got to change the rules. The Pentagon needs to protect their people out on independent duty, and yes, even on the bases. But they need to protect their people. They've got to change the rules. They've got to make weapons available to them. These men are trained in it. When you're on independent duty, they can send them through classes. They can get their concealed carry permits. They can make rules in such a way that they have weapons available to them in their locations. They can do that. There's nothing that hard to do about it. And we should call on our congressmen, LaMalfa, and our senators, Feinstein and Boxer, you know, good chance that has, but to take a look at these rules and allow our men and women that are out in the hinterlands, and you would think Chattanooga would be a safe place. We've been to Chattanooga many times.
Right.
Great place to live. My sister's lived there for, gosh, going on 40 years. You know, they're members of the community. They're just utterly shocked by all this happening, but it's out there. That means it can happen anywhere. It can happen here in Redding. So if somebody walked into our recruiters right here, in fact, we had a recruiting vehicle get burned. A Marine recruiting vehicle got burned about a month ago.
Here?
Here in town. Burned. And so now you got to think about it. Okay, was that just some jerk that, you know, that just hates authority and he burns the Marine Corps vehicle? Or is this more? Is this the beginning of something else? Because these people that are being reached by ISIS and all these other Islamic jihadist groups that want to kill Americans, you don't know who they are. And as we've proven in all of these cases, the police get there and kill them afterwards, after they've done the damage. And then my sister said something that was scary to me.
What?
She said, this guy had an AK-47. She says, he was... You know, and the Marines didn't. I said, yeah. And she said, well, he had more firepower than the police did. And I said, no, he didn't. The police are carrying M4s, M16s. They have as much firepower as he does, if not more, because he was carrying an AK-47 that's semi-automatic. The police have got automatic weapons. But the fact is that people are going to grasp this as saying, oh, no, you know, gosh, then we need just to restrict all the guns. No, mm-hmm. You don't. Just the opposite. You need to arm the Marines that are out there, and the sailors and the Navy that are out there and on these independent assignments. You need to have security forces walking around. You need to be able to take care of yourself, protect yourself. If there had been somebody that had a concealed carry license in that Colorado theater, would that man have been able to kill 12 people, the one they just found guilty yesterday? And I hope they sentence him to. You know, I think they should sentence him to life imprisonment and put him out into the population.
They're not really
population.
Sure. They said by Wednesday should make well, there. But he's guilty
think, no,
on hundreds
think they,
of accounts.
Oh, yeah. Don't put him to death. Throw him out in the prison population. They'll take care of it. I promise you. Anyway, this whole thing is not to take guns away from people, but to make sure that people can protect themselves. These four Marines, combat veterans, are slaughtered like sheep. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at ByStar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at ByStarBank.com. ByStar Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture-retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
You're making a difference where it matters most. We can help. The Community Grants Program from Dignity Health North State supports local, nonprofit organizations working to improve the health and well-being of our community. Since 2014, we've provided over $500,000 in funding to groups focused on serving those most in need. July 17th is the last day to apply. To learn more, call 530-225-6114.
Hi, this is Jeff Williams, commercial loan officer at Plumas Bank here in Reading. Plumas Bank is proud to sponsor the Colt 45s this season. Plumas Bank has been serving the financial needs of Northeastern California for 34 years. Our top priority is helping local businesses succeed. We're located at the corner of Cypress and Civic Center Drive, across from City Hall and just down the street from the ball field. Call us today at 246-2364. Experience the Plumas Bank difference. More convenience, more value, more opportunity.
Plumas Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:48 in the morning, 77 degrees, going up to 102 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. And this portion of the show brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Does something nobody else does. Gives full guarantees. From Little Bead Chips to cracks over 24 inches in length, Jeff Worst, a veteran, can fix it. Call Jeff at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street in Reading, another veteran-owned local business.
Washington Post. Don't count Peter Burke, the director of Lone Survivor and producer of Friday Night Lights, among the people who were moved by Caitlyn Jenner's speech as she accepted the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs on Wednesday night. Jenner made her first public appearance since completing her gender transition and gave a 10-minute speech about her journey, receiving 2 standing ovations along the way, and acknowledged that giving her Courage Award was like her transition. Controversial.
Excuse me, I'm gagging right now.
Burke criticized the choice with an Instagram post in which he shared without comment that featured a photo of Army veteran Gregory Gadsden, who played a role in Burke's battleship alongside one of Jenner. It says, one man traded 2 legs for the freedom of the other, of 2 balls and 2 boobs. Guess which man made the cover of Vanity Fair, was praised for his coverage of President Obama, and is to be honored with the Arthur Ashe Courage Award on ESPN. Jenner was a controversial choice for the award, with many pointing out that Noah Galloway, an athlete who lost an arm and leg in war, was more deserving, as was Lauryn Hill, who achieved her dream of playing college basketball before she died of brain cancer. It strikes me that awarding the Arthur Ashe Award to Caitlyn Jenner is just a crass exploitation play. It's a tabloid play, he told the Dan Patrick show. In the broad world of sports, I'm pretty sure they could have found someone that is not anything against Caitlyn Jenner, who is much closer actively
involved
in sports.
That was Bob Costas, by the way. This is Bob Costas that made that comment. Not Peter Burke.
Okay.
And Costas is, I mean, he's not a right-wing type or a conservative type. But he sees all the other people that earned this award by, you know, in overcoming things that life had dealt them.
NBC broadcaster Bob Costas was among the more vocal critics of the choice. And he's the one that said, it strikes me that awarding Arthur Ashe Award to Caitlin is just a crass exploitation play. It's a tabloid play. It's, in other words, in the broad world of sports, I'm pretty sure they could have found someone, and this is not anything against Caitlyn Jenner, who was much closer actively involved in sports, who would have been deserving of what the award represents.
Yeah, he's not even, you know, she is not even an athlete anymore. She was, you know, years ago, decades ago, and we have people here. You know what? The President Obama congratulated her. I bet he didn't congratulate these other athletes that fought for like this, the girl with brain cancer before she died, or the warrior that's an athlete with an arm and a leg missing, or these other people. He doesn't do it because it doesn't fit into a story, just like anything else. Everybody has a story in their head, and they will disregard anything that doesn't agree with that story, which is why you have the media being certain ways. You can hear 1,000 facts coming from different areas, but if it doesn't fit your story, pew, not true. As soon as it fits your story, no matter how outrageous, you just take it in. In this case, ESPN did one of the lowest of low. They passed over true athletes of this era, to give an award to somebody that changed their sex. Big deal. Happens all the time. What's so big about that? We have to, this is an award for bravery, for doing something like that? I don't think so.
Who was on Dancing with the Stars, that was Noah, right? The guy who was Dancing with the Stars, one leg, one arm.
How about that guy?
Yeah.
You know what about that for being an athlete? You know, that finishes third in the nation, dancing, putting himself out there every week, Dancing with the Stars. And you know, the chances of, you know, falling or embarrassment is all over the place, but he stood there through it. Okay, maybe dancing isn't an athletic event, as they're saying here.
It sure is.
Well, I know that, but it's not in the sense that they're using it for ESPN. But on the other hand, having your sex changed, and not even totally, but your sex changed, where does that come under the Arthur Ashe, of all people, would probably come up and just slap the producer of ESPN, because this is how they chose him. There wasn't a group of people. There wasn't a huge committee. There wasn't this groundswell of support for Caitlyn Jenner. It was a producer and a couple of her staff. That's who it was, making a statement. Here you go, people. Shove down your throat. If you watch the, I'm never going to watch it again. I'm not even going to try never to watch ESPN again, if this is the way they do things. You know, this is the only way I can vote, by not watching them. When do we get a chance to get over this bundling concept that the cable TV and Dish and everybody forces down our throats, and aren't we able to pick the ones we want to just watch? I mean, do you watch 650 channels, Sweet Pea?
No.
How about you, Eric? You watch 650 channels? Eric's shaking his head. No. So how many channels do you think you really watch? 20? I mean, really? 20? 25? And yet you're paying for 684, and this is one of them. So, I'm calling my network and seeing if I can have it cut off.
I'm sure there was a big outrage about it. We'll follow up on that. On a happier note,
it's a slap in the face of those athletes that have overcome adversities that life has dealt them, and not a choice to do this change and to, you know, to, I mean, okay, fine. Oh, I have to do this because I'm really a girl. Fine, but you're not an athlete now. You're a star of a, you are a member of a crazy reality story about the Kardashians somehow. I'm not even sure how that even got into it. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
So you don't have a problem with the fact that that he has become a she?
No, I have no problem at all with that. I mean, that's his choice, her choice.
You have a problem with the fact that he got, or she got, the Honored Arthur Ashe
Award for bravery. Arthur Ashe, who fought with HIV, that it wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do with sex. It had to do with a blood transfusion he got. And he, back then in those days, you know, there were still some problems in how they checked the blood. And he fights through it. And a man of great honor and commitment, and he died of HIV. You know what? I don't care, even if he was gay. I don't, you know, he wasn't. But even if he was, I don't care. But he withstood this with honor and this and bravery. And look
tennis
at all
player.
The other tennis players. Look at all the other people they have honored with this. And now they honor Caitlyn Jenner, who is not an athlete, who has done, you know, has made this decision, has been on every cover in the world. And if you don't think that ESPN did this just for ratings and for some kind of agenda.
Well, when you say not an athlete, wouldn't you say once a gold medal winner and once the
He hasn't been.
Well, he was the best in the world in the 70s.
Absolutely.
In the world. He was
absolutely
top rated in what's it called?
Decathlon.
Decathlon. So there's never been anybody in America since then. So
no, there has been.
There has been. Okay.
But
my question is,
it's 40 years ago.
Wouldn't he always be a gold medal? I'm just saying the devil's advocate here.
Yes.
You say he's not an athlete.
He's
once
not an
you're
athlete
a gold
now.
Medal winner, it's like Mark Spitz. You would say Mark Spitz isn't an athlete. Well, yes, he always will be. He's a gold medal winner and holds in
but
the
he is
records.
Not an athlete that is competing now.
But can't they go? I understand what
but,
you're
oh,
saying.
Oh, here's what I'm saying is, let's go back and look at the other ESPN awards. Eric, hop onto a computer and look at the ESPN awards for the ESPY for courage over the last 5 years and see who they've given them to. That's okay. Then we'll go to that. Maybe they do look back into this. But this is all the other choices. Even Costas, he is not somebody you'd call a
conservative
kind of guy. Okay, now Peter Berg, who tweeted that. Peter Berg is a
actor, director, writer.
He did American Sniper.
But he's also done several documentaries.
He's done a lot of things. Yes, you're absolutely right. He's the one that did this Friday Night Lights or Friday Night Tykes or something like that with these kids playing football. And how you're looking at that, now, can that be destructive? But this whole thing. But so he's looking at the fact that there's a, let's take a good look at why are we honoring people when you've got other people?
Okay, so who are the other the past recipients?
So last year we had Michael Sam. Year before that, Robin Roberts.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. Michael Sam. He came out as being gay, and he's a football player. All right. Okay, this is the same producer, same group of people. Okay, let's bring that one out. Oh, he was very brave. He came out as being gay, even though he never made the pro football because he wasn't good enough. But okay, but he came out as being
gay. See the guy who danced this year with Dancing with the Stars? Good-looking guy.
Yeah, I got cut out too. Okay, what's the next one?
2013 was Robin Roberts.
Okay, she battled cancer, and we know who's that. That's the she's the gal who is on ABC in the morning, right? Right? Is that her? Robin.
I'm not sure that is. Who was the next one?
2012 was Pat Summitt. 2011, Dewey Bozella.
I don't even know who these people are. We need to look that up, too.
Yeah, Robin Roberts is in the morning. She's also a former basketball player, newscaster. You see her all the time. She does a lot of announcing.
All right, so then I'll take a step back then. They do go back for people.
And she battled cancer, and yes.
And has come back. Okay, but so the last 2 years, last year was Michael Sam. He came out as being gay. All right, so ESPN has a track record of this. Okay. I'll cut them out of my will.
Okay.
I'm still upset about it.
Okay,
there's no reason he did that. And then Peter Berg gets, of course, he gets
slammed.
Savaged as a, he's a phobic. He's a transphobic. What the hell is a transphobic?
Well, I guess you're going to find out. It's been 60 years. On the positive note, before we take a break in the 8 o'clock hour, it's been 60 years since, guess what? Theme park opened.
All right.
Disneyland. First opened its gates in Anaheim on July 17th, 1955. This year, the magical parks celebrate decades of stories and memories with a brand new World of Color, light and water show, a parade, and a high-tech fireworks show. Disneyland's Sleeping Beauty Castle will even be decorated with fake faux diamonds in honor of the diamond celebration.
All right.
What a great time to go!
First time I went to Disneyland, they used to still have a live mule. You could ride mules through the painted desert. I was allergic to the spray, the horse spray they used, or the fly spray they used.
Really?
My face swelled up. They had to give me. I remember Disneyland. I remember that. Yeah.
I remember my dad turning green when we did the teacups. You know, the magic, they were turning circles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But who can, I've got Tinkerbell. I mean, how could you ever forget
Honey,
Tinkerbell?
Honey, you are Tinkerbell. We'll come back. We'll be back. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll be back with Gary Cadd right after these messages. Carl and Dubai, KCNR, 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Federal authorities are trying to piece together information on the man they say killed four Marines in Chattanooga, Tennessee yesterday. Former FBI official Sean Henry told NBC's Today Show, for one thing, investigators want to look and see whether the attacker had any help.
First of all, they're looking forward. They want to make sure that there are no other people that are tied to this specific attack. Are there other pending attacks that are in play here?
Meanwhile, Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse says it's high time the nation faced a very real and ongoing threat of violence motivated by religion.
We need to have a national conversation about what it looks like to do offense and defense right in a world where people believe in asymmetric warfare and they believe in killing in the name of religion, and we're not very serious as a nation yet about the kind of threat that we actually face.
Authorities identified the gunman as 24-year-old Kuwaiti-born engineer Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz of Hickson, Tennessee. Also at SRNnews.com, U.S. builders broke ground on apartment complexes in the month of June at the fastest pace in nearly 28 years.
The Commerce Department says housing starts increased 9.8% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.17 million homes. All of that growth came from a 28.6% surge in multifamily housing, which put apartment construction at its highest rate since November 2007. Approved building permits went up 7.4% to an annual rate of 1.34 million, the highest level since July 2007.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Total housing starts have risen 10.9% year to date. Rising gasoline prices have pushed overall consumer prices a bit higher. The Labor Department says its consumer price index rose 0.3%. Last month, prices at the pump rose 3.4% in June, on top of a 10.4% increase seen in the month of May. On Wall Street, the Dow's struggling. It's down about 70 points. This is SRN News.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, waking at night to go, even longer time in the bathroom. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-859-2805. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-859-2805. That's 1-800-859-2805. Call 1-800-859-2805.
Google says that one of its self-driving cars has been involved in an injury accident for the first time.
The tech giant says one of its SUVs was rear-ended in its home city of Mountain View, and the three people on board complained of minor whiplash. All were released from the hospital soon after the July 1st collision. In California, a person must be behind the wheel of a self-driving car prototype being tested on public roads. There were also two passengers. According to Google, its SUV was stopped near an intersection when another car hit it at about 17 miles an hour. Onboard sensors showed the other car did not brake. Keith Peters, SRN News.
Three rail cars leaking crude oil after a train leaving North Dakota's oil fields derailed in northeast Montana. That triggered an evacuation of nearby residents. Burlington Northern Santa Fe spokesman Matt Jones said there was no estimate of exactly how much oil spilled from the ruptured cars. This is SRN News. The Senate has approved major revisions to the No Child Left Behind Act, the decade-old law that gave Washington, D.C. a much bigger role in setting the nation's educational standards.
A painstakingly hammered-out rewrite that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says gives power back to state and local officials.
The Every Child Achieves Act is aimed at helping students succeed instead of helping Washington grow.
The measure still requires annual math and reading tests, but does away with federally mandated standards, like the controversial Common Core. Next up, working out differences with the House-passed version.
That's SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. A reputed member of the Gambino crime family and a former son-in-law of John Gotti has been freed on a personal bond after being arrested on charges related to an alleged $3 million scam involving stolen cars and scrap metal. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and about 8:05 in the morning here, July the 17th, Friday. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What's the weather look like there, Linda?
Well, it's currently 77 degrees. We're going to have a high temperature today of 102, and our lows will be around 73 years old, 73 degrees.
Oh.
And
Gary's here, but I'm not sure how old
The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. A couple announcements here. Saturday, July 18th, that's tomorrow, you're going to have whiskey, wine, cigars, and brew. And tickets are only $10. That's at the Veterans Hall tomorrow night. A couple of things of veterans love. Guns, five to give away, barbecue and drinks. Also, they're going to have cigar girls there tomorrow night. So that should be a lot of fun.
The funds go to One Safe Place and Healing Waters.
Sounds great. Those are both wonderful things that, that we're involved with. Music by Christopher McCandles. Food by Asphalt Cowboys. Live and silent auction. So I wanted to make that announcement about tomorrow night's event.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. It's 102 today. Get Martin on the phone if you've got a problem. And say, Martin, I have got an emergency. He'll find ways to help you. If it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day if they have to. But they're going to help people in need. Give him a call at 221-2642. Just the fact that he can handle any type of air conditioner here. And as I was telling people earlier, I should have told my friend down in Las Vegas where it was going to take him 4 weeks or 5 weeks to get a repairman out there just to give Martin a call. And he'd probably send a team down there in a truck and have him up in a day. I don't know if he ever did that or not. Again, give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website, homecomfort.org. This is a veteran-owned business, my friends. A man that's been in business right here in our community for 20 years. He and his father, and Martin's got it now, and he's got a great crew of people there. Okay, let's go to the phones. Terry.
Linda, Carl, how
good
are you
morning.
Guys doing?
We're peachy.
Peachy, good, all right. Anyway, as you know by now, on Monday night at 6 o'clock at 2570 Bonnie View Road at Destiny Fellowship Church, Doug LaMalfa will be in, and he will be doing a Q&A from 6:15 to 8 o'clock.
And you can ask all those questions you have about the TPP, the TPA, the FAA, the FCC, the CIA, the NSA. Should I keep going on? NEA?
Well, you can, and that's very humorous. But the point is that there's some serious stuff going on.
He will be, and he's there, but he's there to answer these questions.
He is. And, you know, and I just want to say one quick thing. I went back and listened to when I called in yesterday, and there wasn't one thing that was said that was disrespectful.
To who?
By anyone on the radio yesterday.
Did somebody say there was?
Yes, Ruth Angel.
Oh, well.
And there wasn't anything that was disrespectful. He was always called the congressman, Congressman LaMalfa. We talked about his staff. There was nothing disrespectful or name-calling. I think that
okay.
When people disagree with you, that's fine. But if they're, a lot of times you have to have a receiver along with a transmitter.
Well, that's what he's here for. He's
exactly.
There are bones of contention here. There are points that people, and if you take a look at like the Iranian deal, 80% of the people in the United States are against this. The TPP is a huge group of the majority of people are against that. The way so far that it's been explained.
That's the elephant in the room, folks, because we can talk about Iran, we can talk about immigration, and we can go off on all those different trails, but the TPA is the one that ties it together. And, yes, Red Smith did read it four times, as did Mark Kent. So, you know, if you listen to that program from 9 to noon on Sunday, last Sunday, on Sovereign Minds, you will get the scoop, not from those two guys, but from a woman who was there, from a lobbyist there, that read the whole thing and can give you the information that you may need. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that the congressman is answering the questions, again, respectfully, you know, but he needs to answer the questions. And again, you know, the thing is, when these guys are voting the right way, that's good, but they're not three-year-olds. You know, there are men, and I think at this point our nation lacks a lot of men that are standing up because they're afraid they're facing any kind of ridicule or anything else. And if we don't stand up, and when we do, we face danger.
Okay. Monday night. Congressman yep. Doug Lamoff is going to be there Monday night at the Bonneview Destiny Fellowship Church on Bonneview, South Bonneview.
Yep, 2570.
Starting from at about 6:15 till 8 or 8:15.
I think just 8, because he has to catch a flight. That's what we were told by his office.
All right. Okay, Monday. We'll talk about it again. I'm sure we'll be talking about this weekend, and we'll be talking about it again Monday morning. All right, thanks a lot.
Have a great week.
You bet, Terry. Okay, 10 after 8 in the morning here, 77 degrees, going up to 102 today. Thank you for the weather report, Shasta Gas Propane, another better-known business. Okay, we're here with Gary Cadd. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning, Redding Gary.
Redding City Councilman.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There's a lot of I got questions on water.
Shoot.
Let me go back to the questionnaire exactly. One of the questions was water. If you use more water, do you pay less? Do you know if that's true?
If you use more water, you're going to pay less.
Yeah, it's kind of like electricity. You know, they were talking. I'm not sure where the question came from.
Well, they're probably talking about the. Reading Electric Utility rate structure that we voted down here last meeting, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that the more you use, the less you would pay for the per unit. But no, the water's not set that way.
Okay, when I try and find this, you know, thing about the the water police. Was the water police contract a competitive bid where we accepted the lowest bid, and was there a discussion of how this money could have been used to solve real problems instead?
The answer is no, no, and no, as far as I know, because it wasn't brought before the council. This issue hasn't been before the council staff moved forward with it.
What's the ceiling on non-competitive bids?
$25,000.
Unless it goes in front of the...
unless it goes to the council, yeah.
But you also mentioned, because you and I talked about this earlier, mm-hmm. but if they broke it up into two separate type of...
Well, they broke them, it could be $15,000 if you would. I don't know who they're paying the most, but I'm understanding that this is... the contract... I think I read something in the papers where I got it that... and you know where that'll go. The contract was given to Waterworks, who was an engineering company, and they're the ones that divided the city up into 17 zones or districts, whatever the naming of it is. And then the North State Security drives around, I presume, at night, checking the water and where the water's on the sidewalk and if sprinklers aren't working correctly.
Let me ask a question here. Why does it take $10,000 or $12,000 to break the city up into 17 districts? I could do it for $5,000.
Well, I did.
I mean, I can do it for $5,000. I mean, I can take a look at the city and divide it into 17 districts for a lot less than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how hard is that?
Yeah, well, it probably isn't very hard at all. But the thing with it is that this got me a little perplexed was that the first I heard about it was when it came public and was put out by staff. And I'm a council member, one of the five, so I probably should have known about it or should have voted on it at least. But probably a question is going to have to be asked when I talk to Mr. Starman later today.
Well, they have. You also have a city council meeting on Tuesday with several interesting things in there. That was one of the things. Okay, now here's another question: is why can't we use volunteers for that? To drive around and find out. In fact, you know, I think you could probably get a lot of volunteers to do that. And volunteers can be just ruthless when they're out there. You know, I mean, no, seriously. No, I mean, you know, volunteers, they go out and drive around, you know, and they love doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Just a few minutes ago, I received an email from a lady that's a former city employee that was in charge of volunteers, and she said she had over 100 volunteers in various different departments of the city when she was working for the city. And so I'm going to contact her and just dig a little deeper into what she has to say and listen to what she has to say.
It seems like $30,000. I mean, I keep hearing, oh, that's not very much. Well, for $30,000, we did away with the Downtown Reading Business Association and the Business Improvement District, and that was over $30,000 too. And yet we're we just throw this out to water police. That, I mean, it's got a lot of people a little concerned here. I mean, this is the same city council that kind of graciously approved the old water slide. At least three of them did. You know, the water slide, it's supposed to have been tomorrow. But
is that the date?
No, it's not. It's not now. But anyway, hey, we got to take a break. Reading City Councilman Gary Cadd is our guest. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. You know, a local business that's done good, started right in the middle of the recession 6 years ago, and yet has been a success because customer service, having the guns that people want, the ammo, the shooting accessories, all of this is at Bastiani Arms. And again, can I say customer service and just great gunsmithing, plus classes there on concealed carry, hunter safety, everything. All of this at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, or give them a call at 222-8222. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's 8:17 in the morning, 77 degrees out there.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Reading plant, and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best? Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Sweet dreams are welcome back. KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindabot on a Friday morning here, July the 17th. 8:20 in the morning, 84 degrees.
Perfect.
Out there, going up to 102. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. This portion of the show, however, is come on down and join us Sunday at View 202. The only restaurant on the river for every Sunday brunch this July. Linda Bott's going to be singing with her jazz and soul.
Jazz on the veranda.
Jazz on the veranda. And the brunch, which is outstanding food, 11 to 2. Linda sings from 11:30 to 1:30. And I can tell you, you're going to have a great time. They have drinks like the Manmosa, which I happen to have every time. And they have mimosas for people who are not drinking mimosas. Other thing, everything there, a great new menu, everything redone by executive chef Dustin Heisler. Give him a call at 226-8439. But you have to ask for, and if you want to have reservations out on the veranda where Linda's singing, however, the music should be piped in also to the rest of the restaurant. But it's in the shade. It's been very comfortable out there for the other 2 weeks. So this is the third week, and you've only got this weekend and next weekend while Linda's out there singing. So
226-8439.
Okay. Our guest is Reading City Councilman Gary Cadd. There's lots of questions coming through here, Gary, but let's we're going to get to all these, my friends. Wait, what's up and running, and Jimmy and Joe and all these people. But one of the things, let's just hit this first, is the unfunded liabilities. Are we making any progress at all in the city of Reading? And how much is it, $300 million, $600 million? What is it? I can never figure it out.
The figure is somewhere between $300 and $350 million. Okay. And both PARS and CalPERS has us on a payment plan.
All right.
And the PARS payment plan is $6.5 million a year for the next 10 years, and then the CalPERS is going to be graduated up to 19.
Okay. And this is CalPERS is, but it can keep going up all the time because unless they get the money, unless they make some really super.
They've
cut themselves off from actually money making opportunities for cultural reasons.
Yeah, they basically got 2.25% return the last reported year, and they needed to get 7.5%, so we're 5.25% short on the most recent year. So we're that's an increase on top of the unfunded. You got the unfunded, and then you've got returns that they got to come back, and those are two separate issues. But you're both cost us money.
Uh-huh.
Both going to be a fairly large problem.
Well, this is not going to go away either.
No. So well, the CalPERS part.
What point does it take? How much out of every dollar goes to retirement and health?
Public safety, I think, is 46, 47, and the others, they call them miscellaneous. They're not miscellaneous, but the other employees, and then they're 43. But now, see, that's just pension. That's not health care.
Yeah, that's what I mean with health care. I thought it was like 75% of every – 75 cents out of every dollar goes to salaries, pensions, and health care.
Well, that's right. It
out
is.
Of every dollar that we take in, 75 cents of it, 75% goes to that.
I think it's just over 73.
Or 73.
Yeah, you're right.
It is 73, but we were looking at it's going to 74.
Yep.
And then with any changes, 75 cents of every dollar is going to go to this.
Well, we have four contract negotiations in closed session at this meeting next Tuesday. That we'll be talking about closed session, so I can't tell you anything about what's going on, but I can just tell you that we are doing that.
Oh, good. You know, I would like to know is that everybody realizes this can't just keep going on.
Mm-mm. No, we have to get our hands around it. We have to get a hold of it. If we don't, we are going to have problems by 2020. And I was at a conference here a couple of weeks ago and talked to a couple of actuarials and ran a story by them. And they said, no, I said, Gary, you're right. If this is the case, then the city of Reading is going to be looking at some problems.
Okay. Let's switch over to water. This water situation is
it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, besides the $30,000, which, you know what, the water slide, you know, frankly, it was... It was entertaining, and Rocky Slaughter, you know, to his credit, Rocky comes up with ideas. He comes up with all types of ideas to promote Reading and get things going. And the idea itself really got people talking about water. And then Rocky backed off it. You know, this man is not a dumb person at all. But here's one here. And some things have just hit the paper where it says that Reading is one of the worst the city itself is one of the worst abusers of waters. How come the city hires a parks and recreation director who can't even water the grass properly in the city parks? Her excuse that the sprinklers run at night so no one can monitor them. Well, you can imagine what the rest of it says. Maybe you can have someone work at night to check on these.
Well, it would be good. And the thing with it is, it's just not just the Parks and Recs department that's wasting water, if you will. There's other parts of the city, and I know
people are calling in saying they're watching water go straight up in the air and mm-hmm. flooding areas. There's letters in there about people, you know, they're watching the water just flood across the street, and they're watering the street, yet nothing's being done about that, and yet they're going to come down with water police and get me because my maybe my watering is hitting the side of the sidewalk.
Well, the thing with it is, the city has their water cops, the people are going to have our water cops and be looking at what goes on with the city and reporting what they see with the city, where the water. I mean, we need to do this because. Go ahead.
I agree. That's exactly right. What happens though? When they say this, and then the answer to this is, oh, it happens at night and there's nobody out there to check it. I mean, that's not a good answer. It shouldn't have answered have been something like, you know what, thank you very much. Well, we're going to have somebody out there today fixing mm-hmm. it. I didn't see that answer in there.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
I mean, but who's supposed to hold, who's in charge here?
Well, we're going to have to be in charge. The people are going to be in charge. The people are going to start telling them where to. You know, people are out driving around at night. You can see something. Write it down. You know, call it in. Call the city manager's office and give a report on that certain block at a certain time. The water was running out into the street. It was from the city. But the city also has other water problems with our main water lines. There's millions of gallons wasted each year in the city, and the city uses 20% of the water that the city of Redding did
right.
their allocation.
Right.
All right, so then they are the largest water waster in the city of Redding. So if we're going to go around and say, okay, Carl, you and Linda have water going on your sidewalk, so you're going to get a yellow tag, a red tag, and then a letter, all right, because you lost 100 gallons. When the city at the same time is losing thousands of gallons.
Mm-hmm. No, it's millions of gallons, and it's millions of gallons because it's unaccounted for, and they've got leaks out there. And Brian Crane said, you know what? Some of the stuff we have to flush. We can't keep track of that. And I understand that they got to flush out the sewers or whatever. You know,
well, I
would
not talk about flushing. No. I'm talking about regular
but
use.
But just loss. Yeah, mm-hmm. and just loss of it. And it goes someplace and just disappears. And you can have a certain percentage. And that percentage, as long as it's in the single digits, which could be 15 million gallons or 5 million gallons, well, that's okay. That's acceptable. But yet, how is that acceptable if we're in the middle of a big water shortage?
Well, that's exactly true. Well, and the thing with it is, the state has necked us down to 30. We got a 36% reduction. If we take today down the river, there's 6,000 CFS cubic feet per second going down the river. If we take 30 CFS out of the river every day. That would be a normal non-drought year for the water we need in the city of Redding. Minuscule, just a minuscule amount of water, but we're cutting back 36% on that particular number. The state does not take into consideration temperature. We have the same temperature allocation as say Mountain View, California. They're down there. I think it's 73 degrees is their mean temperature year round. Here it's 93, 95. Of course, we get up over 100, but we're held to the same standard as they are down there. So they're decreasing our water. Yet Mountain View is at 18%. So where's the inequity of where they're taking the water away from us and what they're doing with the water? It's ludicrous that they're taking the water from here, outside of the fact that they want our water. Now, I just made a statement, said our water. Our water is that 30 CFS. I'm not talking about the 6,000 CFS as being our water. It's the 30 CFS that's our water that they're cutting into. This is what we have to stand up for and get the state to start understanding what's going on up here, because we've got lawns dying. We've got plants and trees dying up here because we have to cut back, and we have to cut back to the point that we have to have water cops keep an eye on us. So the problem needs to be taken care of, and I think that we need to start putting pressure on the governor and on the State Water Control Board to what is going on with this and what's being fair to what they're doing to us.
Okay. All right. Our guest is Reading City Councilman Gary Cadd talking about water. We're going to take a break, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading, one of Linda's favorite places. And, in fact, I think you
No, I took my mom's watch in. She had two jewelers. I gave her a watch that was a vintage watch. Didn't buy it at Four Winds Jewelry, obviously, but I bought it in an estate sale, and she took it to two jewelers in Sacramento. They both said it was going to cost $60 or they couldn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. I took another to the person. So finally, I just gave it back to me, and I took it to Leonard. They took care of it. Boom. I was able to bring it back to her in Sacramento, and she was so happy. Thank you for fixing my watch. It worked. Just no discussion. It's just no discussion. Just take your stuff to Four Winds Jewelry and just be headache free.
Not only that, but you can buy anything you want there. I mean, friend, you know, if it has to do with jewelry, estate jewelry or anything, and if he doesn't have it, ask him. He's got this big safety. He's got all types of stuff in there. Plus, he's got contacts all over the world, Leonard does. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, across the road from Sierra Gibbs, right in that little shopping center there, open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Cornerstone Community Bank is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Summer Baseball. The value of local banking comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor. When you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. So the question is, how local are you? Visit bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, as local as you.
Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. 8:34 in the morning. 84 degrees out there. It's going to be 102 today. It's going to be what's it going to be hot this weekend too? There, huh, sweetie? I think it's going to be around that 100 mark. Maybe a little bit less. Weather's always brought to you by our friends at Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. A better known business. Where they give senior and veterans discounts. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Another veteran-owned business. Everybody sees this, maybe sees a, maybe there's something that, they all have got things in common, veteran-owned businesses. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Best place to get a haircut in town, maybe in all of Northern California. The Cheers of Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold. All of this. Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, right across from the subway. Got my haircut here this week. It's great. Linda, you can get your haircut there, too.
I can?
You could.
I don't know if I want to stick my toes in again, I always say.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It's a man cave, and I respect man cave.
You do.
You go ahead and have your guy time. You need to have. I always think, what is this about women wanting to be involved with a gentleman's club? Just stay out. Let them have their time.
Yeah, we need it.
I'm not talking about a gentleman. You know, and I'm not talking about a strip. I'm talking about where guys get together and play cards and smoke cigars and drink brandy and just have your time. Girls have their time. They need their circle time. So do guys.
I like that.
Anyway.
I like that idea.
Hot Saturday with 98. Sunday's going to be 100. But don't forget that when we are out and the veranda, jowls on the veranda, they do have misters, so you're not even going to feel it. So Monday's going to be sunny and hot with 102. Tuesday's calling for 99. Wednesday's calling for 96. So we're back down below the triple digits for next week.
Okay,
let's continue on.
Our city councilman, ready. One of our five city councilmen, Gary Catt, is with us today talking about water and a number of other things. The people are just saying that it's a waste of taxpayers' money. These are just comments I'm getting here. I think a lot of people. Did you hear anything about the water police? Did anybody call you and say, "Hey, this is not a good idea"?
Yes, they have.
Was there a lot of people, or is it just like
quite a number from emails from people stopping me on the street? Just about everybody is talking about it, wondering what's going on.
Was the city council ever going to discuss this?
I didn't really look at the agenda yet, but I don't think it was on the agenda.
I looked at the agenda. It's not on there.
It's not on there because
the city council works very well together, and they just agree with these things as they come back. So, the staff is omnipresent. It's ever seen. It's over us, looking out for our good.
Well, the whole thing that it boils down to, Carl, is we've got a city of Reading. Corporate city of Reading, and then we have the people live in the city of Reading, and the people that live in the city of Reading own the corporate city of Reading.
I don't think they know that.
Well, I think that needs to be brought back to the forefront.
I don't think they know that. Okay. So we've talked about water police. Is there more about on water here?
Well, I'd just like to also mention that the city of Reading sitting on top of the Reading water basin. That water basin is rather large. In fact, it's 1.5 times the size of Shasta Lake. Shasta Lake is 4.5 million acre feet, and the water aquifer, I think, is just over 6 million acre feet of water. We never overdraft that water basin like they do in the southern part of the state. That water basin is overfilled with most rain events. You get an inch and a half, 2 inches of rain, that water basin will fill to the full. And when it's full, it overflows. When it overflows, the water just goes in the river.
Well, one of the things that with aquifers and this, and one of the problems we're having in Southern California and the Southwest is that the aquifers that you're talking about don't fill up. For every gallon they take out, it takes it. It's like 25% comes back in.
It's called recharge.
Then on the recharge, and you can empty these out. And, there's huge problems
in various parts.
Well, if you empty one.
Yeah, if you're emptying it. I mean, that's a huge problem.
So you've got subsidence.
But the difference is the one up here, from what I understand you're saying, is, yeah, we have that aquifer, and we take water out of that, but it fills back up. Even during the drought season, there's still enough water in there to fill that up. We don't take that much out of it. Probably a lot of reasons.
Which it's basically full. It's probably at least 90% full right now as we speak here. So we have taken care of the water. And another thing, too, we have the information going back 25, 30 years to show what the levels of that water basin have been. So with this new groundwater legislation that just got passed, it's a one-size-fits-all. Remember, one-size-fits-all. If they directed it towards the San Joaquin Valley in Southern California, we're going to have to live by those same regulations, which is not it's wrong.
It is wrong. And see, that's the thing we've gotten into with the fire tax. You know, fire tax doesn't touch people down in L.A. Mm-mm. Doesn't touch that. Touches us up here when you start getting into the water wells. And they're going to, you know, when they start talking about taking away your rights in the water wells and this. And, you know, it doesn't touch people down
putting
in L.A.
Putting meters on water wells.
Or San Francisco and that, but it touches people up here. Their big thing they did on the septic tanks, remember? How they were going to try and change that. Mm-hmm. Luckily, that was fought to a standstill. Mm-hmm. When they said, you're talking about things along the beach, not up here where it's completely different than, you know, down there. At least they looked at that.
But never one size fits all.
Again, we get into that. And nothing's going to change there, Gary. And until we figure out a way that we can swing people's votes from L.A. to understanding how we live up here, I'm not sure that's going to happen. As we've said, you know, a lot of times, is that we've still got, no matter how good they are, we've still got just one representative.
Well, we just don't have the votes down there. I was down there last Monday, down in Sacramento at a hearing, and I was somewhat appalled at the way the sponsors of a certain bill was acting while he was sitting at the speaker's at the desk. He was winking at people in the audience and thought it was just cute and funny. And part of this bill is going to, by 2030, is going to take away 50% of our fuel, our gasoline that we use. They want to cut back 50% on the fuel. And basically, this bill is going to pass probably because the governor wants it, because he's going over to France in September to a UN climate meeting.
You said this before on a break. Now, this bill says that we're going to cut back on the amount of gas we use?
The amount of gas that would be available for us to use.
Well, how can they do that?
They can just cut back. Just say you can only produce so much gasoline, so much diesel.
But see, that's... It doesn't make any sense, because we don't have the technology right now to run trucks on electricity.
Carl,
I know. Okay.
Go to Sacramento.
I missed the first part, right? I missed the first part. It doesn't make sense if we don't have the technology to catch up with that. We had somebody on that has a Tesla. By the way, there's somebody in town that owns a Tesla too. Did you know that? We found that out the other day. Yeah. And I know the name, and you know the name, and I'm just trying to kick it back. But somebody in town owns a Tesla. But this woman drove hers up here from San Diego. She gets 400 miles at a run. There's charging stations all the way up to 5. It goes from 0 to 60 in like 1.2 seconds. I mean, the thing's fast. It's made out of titanium and everything else. It's also close to $100,000. But you're saying that there's a bill that's been introduced that says they're going to cut back on the amount of gasoline available, which forces people into mass transit and electricity or hydrogen-powered cars or solar-powered cars.
Yeah, this bill would they're talking about going to 2030 is when this would be in place, but the comment was made, if we could do it sooner, we will.
Okay. Now, Dolby. I just, because I somehow managed to kick myself off the off my own chat room here, and I just got back on. So his name is Dolby. Is this the guy that did it? Dolby.
Mm-hmm.
It says 50% across the board fuel reduction.
Right.
I can understand that. Okay, what they're saying is we want a 50% cut in fossil fuel use.
Correct.
Well. That's going to be interesting
It's going to be interesting. And the thing with it is they're talking about, and again, they're talking about electric cars and electric charging. And they seem to think that once you plug that plug into the wall to charge your battery, that there's no cost. Now, the real question is here, what is the greenhouse gas cost to produce this electricity to charge these cars? Now, take that another step.
Well, maybe they can plug it into the electricity tree. Yep. That we're using hydro water on to recharge your electrical vehicle.
You're exactly right. Now, see, the thing with it is the residential and business electricity production is going to go right through the roof with the cost of producing electricity to charge the cars. But see, they don't want to talk about that. I've been to talking with some CARB people here within the last couple of weeks, and asked them point blank that question in front of about 100 people, and they went on for 15 minutes, but they never answered the question. They just went on. We don't have to worry about that. The whole point is that electricity costs are going to go through the roof when you start having so many cars to be charged.
By the way, it's who is it?
Jan Skopidas.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me. Because she loves
things with class. She does things with finesse. She's amazing, and so it doesn't surprise me that she would want something cutting edge.
Yeah, and it is. So if you see her driving around, you can't tell. It looks like a Buick, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Buicks are damn nice.
No, they look a bit.
They're really good looking.
But if you looked at it, you couldn't tell this was
cool,
a Tesla,
man.
Unless you kind of look in this little side there. It says Tesla. It's got all these new
Buicks aren't
on.
What they used to be. Buicks used to be like my grandfather's car.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Well, I'm a grandmother now, so maybe that's speaking why of, I think they're cool.
Speaking of grandfathers, we're here with Gary Cadd, and
we all grand folks here.
Y'all.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It's 15 minutes until 9 o'clock here on the 17th of July. 84 degrees out there, going up to 102 today. Make sure you don't leave. Make sure you don't leave any animals in a car, or your kids, or elderly people, or just anybody in a car. Don't leave chocolate in there unless you want to have chocolate all over your car.
Yeah.
Don't leave anything in the car. It's going to get so hot out there today. Stay cool. Dress cool. Stay hydrated out there, Redding. We don't want to lose any of you. We'll be right back.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Did you hear about Mosley Family Cellar's Zinfandel release party this Saturday?
Zen your dreams.
No, really, it's open to the public and everyone gets wine club pricing. Mosley Family Cellar's will be sampling two new Zinfandels and their gold stripe Zin.
Zen your dreams.
I'm not dreaming. Senior Roses will have food available. It's all day Saturday, July 18th.
Zen your dreams. That's what this great Zen tasting is called. At the beautiful new Mosley Family Cellar's Tasting Room and Winery off Mountain Lakes Boulevard in the former KMS building.
I get it. Zen your dreams. A tasting event.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
The New York Times called it a thoroughly entertaining lesson in the fine art of theatrical finesse, the closest thing the theater offers to a duel at 10 paces. The Riverfront Playhouse presents the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The Gin Game, by D.L. Coburn, directed by Elsie Ritchie, opening July 11th and continuing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through August 8th. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877. The Gin Game, rated mature for language.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Something's happening here.
It's 12 minutes till 9 o'clock here on Friday. Yes, everybody, it's Friday. We made it through to Friday, the 17th of July. It's 84 degrees out there right now, heading up to 102 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, veteran-owned business with discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Wind River. August 6th. Go out there and they have Romance on the River with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds and a great menu, 7 to 9 p.m. that night. And you can go down there and have steak and lobster and everything else you could possibly imagine. Dance. Have a good time. Happy hour prices during the first part of it, at least. August 6th. Come join us down there. But you have to make a reservation, 243-3377. Elements Lounge at Wind River. Non-smoking, by the way. Okay. We're here with Redding City Councilman Gary Cadd. Let's talk a little bit about, there's all types of things, but the sit and lie ordinance. Looks like ACLU is wanting to take this on.
Well, Ed, looks like it, and we'll have to see how that works out. I'm still in favor of it.
Is it working? I've heard anecdotal evidence that maybe it is.
I've seen a couple of areas to where I believe they talked to the individual that was sitting, or some of them were lying down, and they didn't give them a ticket, but they just got them to move on. So. I really can't answer that, but I think it helps clean the city up. It's just like the shopping cart situation, and I'm not exactly sure where we should go with that. I don't know that we should be charging the
businesses for that.
Yeah,
well, why don't we charge somebody that's robbed? Why don't we charge them a fee for when their money's recovered or if their evidence is recovered?
Yeah, just charge the fee if they have a crime that they call the police and have a crime, and then all of a sudden we're going to charge.
Well, we're already being charged. I'm already being charged for that because see, I've got a business and I've never called the police, and I'm being charged for that. But that's okay because you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like
tax money.
Yeah, it's kind of like clean underwear. When you need it, you need it.
Yeah,
right. So, okay, I don't know how I could draw that conclusion. But the sit lie ordinance, ACLU, they said a picnic there, but protest, and that's okay. Protests are fine. It's lawsuits that we kind of are concerned about. And speaking of lawsuits, you've got this pilot.
Yep.
I mean, that should be coming out pretty soon.
Well, it probably should be. It's with the California Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they've got three issues that they've argued on a lower court level, and the city did not prevail in that. And so now the city's gone to the state Supreme Court. So we're going to have to wait and see just how that's going to work out. But it's probably coming fairly shortly. I would imagine probably in the scheme of things with the Supreme Court by probably the end of September or earlier, that we could probably have an answer to that. And it could be fairly substantial again. That's going to be...
And that can have a huge impact on
us. Yes.
I mean, if it's found for the plaintiffs in this thing, that that's $6 million out of the budget.
It's $6 million out of the budget, but I don't know whether they're going to go retroactive back to when the case was filed.
Even if they don't.
Even if just the $6 million, is daunting.
It is. It's daunting.
Because we were just talking about the unfunded pensions.
Yeah, I want to hit three things real quick here. One, the jail was turned down by Shasta County, by the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Basenko is just beside himself about this. Considering that 75% of the residents of the jail belong to the city of Reading, or brought in by the city of Reading, would you support something that where Reading goes into some kind of cost sharing with the county so we can expand the size of that 62-bed facility to 124, 128?
Well, there has to be something done, and I think it needs to be done rather than the way we're out now, and the way the city's looking at. They've got a consultant putting information together, and it's going to be months before we actually act on anything or do anything. And I think we need to start doing something now, and even if it's tax increase. The one thing about a tax increase, it has to be...
Gary Katz talking about having a tax increase.
Well, an idea. No, I didn't, but it's an idea. But if we do, we'd have to, the city of Reading would have to declare an emergency if it's going to be a special ballot item, and it takes 5 votes to do that, and I am not the 5th vote to do that at the moment. The issue would have to be written. The ballot issue would have to be written. Everybody in town would know where the money was going to go, what it was allocated for, and how it was going to be handled. And if it's not, then I'm not going to be the 5th vote for and the sunset would not be left up to the city council. In other words, say it's for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, it could roll over. No. The city council is not going to be the decider on whether it rolls over or not. It's going to be the people of the city of Reading taking a vote to roll it over.
Right.
I wouldn't trust it to this city council or any other city council.
Okay. So we talked about a lawsuit. The gun range. I think it's getting ready to heat up.
Well, I think it probably is, but see, that's going to be in the courts, but I have a feeling.
Is that outside the city limits?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in the county. It's in the county, but it impacts on the city.
It comes back into the city.
Yeah.
The bullets are described as coming back into the
city. Well, it's not even that part. It's the fact is that this is where the Reading police officers train,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a place they can train other than this range?
Well, the sheriff's training in some other place. The sheriff doesn't train out there, it's my understanding. So wherever the sheriff is training, they probably could train there. Or maybe we can start working on getting something put together, whether it's that range and rectify the problem or whether it's someplace else. We need to look into it, but we need to take a good hard look at it.
We're going to address this on Monday, the gun range. By the way, we got like 5 minutes left, Gary. You have something that you want to bring up?
Well, I have an issue on the agenda for Tuesday night. It's drones.
All right, drones.
It's drones and fires. And when I heard that Cal Fire was thinking of pulling the airplanes off of vegetation fire because drones are in the area because it's unsafe, then that right away sparked me up, and I go, wait a minute, we got a real problem here. So Cal Fire had a media thing that they put out that if drones are in the area, they're going to pull the planes off of a fire, and drones need to be taken out of the equation. Now I understand that there was a problem with the trestle fire that they had just recently, that there was a drone in the area, and then there's been a couple of vegetation fires where there are drones in the area. And the situation just can't, we cannot have this happen. So drones, the issue has to come up. We have to discuss it, and we have to make a decision on what's going on with drones. It's been going on a long time. Should have been taken care of.
Yeah. Well, Anderson is using drones now in their law enforcement. Well, they're saying they're using it for to check in out areas, to look at a number of things.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people don't like drones.
If the sheriff and the I'm not particularly liking drones myself, but if it becomes an issue of it becomes an issue of helping public safety, then we need to use them.
Well, balanced with the with public security too,
right.
In the sense of having privacy.
Right.
But it's like anything: if you trust your police to not come onto your property without a warrant and all these things, then I guess you could be okay with drones flying too. There's a lot of rules here on this. That's for sure. Thanks, Gary. It's kind of like last minute that you decided to come on. We've got a lot of things
to talk
about.
Thanks so much. We always appreciate having you be here and
people writing
you on the air.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I like coming on and talking to you guys. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, we're around.
Welcome back.
Okay. Charles, are you on? I didn't know. Charles, I am so sorry. Charles.
Yes. Before I ask Gary something,
I got 2 minutes, Charles.
We've got very little time, so I have to be quick. So, if they ration gasoline by 50%, then, road taxes are going to go down because, you know, they don't tax electricity as motor vehicle fuel. Here comes road pricing all over again.
Well, Charles, let me...
So now the question. What are those bill numbers that we need to be made aware of, especially the gasoline legislation, the bill numbers?
SB 350 by De Leon, and the other one is SB 32, companion to AB 32, by Pavley.
So there you go, buddy.
And in the taking care of the infrastructure, they're going to put into effect an issue that I've talked about for the last couple of years is VMT, vehicle miles traveled. It'll be a vehicle miles traveled
tax. It'll be like the Oregon one where they put a GPS on your car.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charles. Sorry that I'm sitting here not even paying attention to that thing. Hey, okay, the last thought here for everybody is, besides have a safe weekend, the community grant program with Dignity Health. This is the last day to apply. They've given out over $500,000 since 2014 for organizations, nonprofits that are helping the people in the northern state area. Give them a call today, 225-6114, 225-6114. This is the last day you can sign up for this to get into this. Thanks a lot for being with us this week.
All right, looking forward to a big weekend with whiskey, cigars, and wine tomorrow night.
From 4 to 8.
And check out the Riverfront Playhouse, the gin game. I'm going to probably be going this weekend as well to catch the Riverfront Playhouse production.
All right, everybody have a great weekend. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Killed four Marines in Chattanooga yesterday before he was killed by police. And so far, one official says there is no evidence that Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz was directly inspired by ISIS. But former FBI official Sean Henry says the investigation is only at the starting line.
Certainly the investigation is still young. It's going to take a lot of time.
Henry was on NBC's Today show. There's a manhunt in northern Maine after four people were shot overnight in three communities. Authorities say the suspect is a sex offender who's driving a stolen truck. There's no word on the condition of the wounded. She killed two of her four children and pledged that she would do it again. A Detroit woman, 36-year-old Michelle Blair, sentenced to life in prison without parole. She killed her 13-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son, claiming that they had sexually abused a sibling. But she didn't witness the election.